This is a Christmas special edition of Majestic Maryland, a show normally all about little pieces of lore and regional history. It's one of my favorite topics. And in this last year, we have covered some really fascinating stuff, I hope. But the real hyper-focus of my interest in history is folklore, particularly the more mysterious and strange. So like I did for Halloween, I'm going to go a little off topic for this one and share with you a bit of my love on the subject. I'll be honest. If I had to pick a favorite holiday, my first choice after Arbor Day is Halloween. Which makes sense, because Christmas is fine. But I have a mixed relation with Christmas, whereas Halloween is a little more favorable to me. With Christmas, I go back and forth between loving it and also just not caring at times. It always felt like for every part that was authentic and spoke to the whole reason for the season, there was something else that just felt off. Halloween, with its focus on ghosts and ghouls, it sparked a joy in me that even the best Christmas day couldn't compare to my worst Halloween night. But overall, this cold, dark time of year, well, it's the perfect time for ghost stories and mischief. And when I was little, it was something the Christmas holiday was really lacking in as far as I cared. But what if I told you that historically, Christmas was closer to Halloween than you might think, and a lot of Europeans who came over to the States and who would eventually settle and start lives here in Maryland, had a variety of different traditions and unique beliefs on the holiday season. Some of them, like the 12 Days of Christmas and the idea of a supernatural old man in a bright red suit bearing gifts, are still with us, having been molded into modern, slightly more consumer-friendly versions. And many still stem from very ancient rites performed by ancestors in times long before anyone even thought about Santa Claus. The tradition of Christmas being a spooky holiday is famously captured in Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. It takes the form of an almost traditional ghost story, with Scrooge having to atone for being him, after being visited by three spirits representing the past, present, and future. He agrees that he will change his ways to be better to those around him. In a way, it reflects a bit how ancient people viewed this time of year around the winter solstice, a time of rebirth, thankfulness for what you have, and a reverence for death. A celebration of the new year following the end of the old and all. Stories like this were told through generations, and really all over the world during similar festival seasons. Many of these stories had the effect of helping people cope with troubles or remembering loved ones who had passed, and many more to scare children into behaving. You see, it's believed that in the time between Halloween and New Year's, when the nights are long and cold, the veil between the world of the living and dead are thinner, and for the living, this allows better contact with ancestors and to give them gifts of offering and pay respects, to which they would receive blessings for the new year. It also lets other spirits wander and do what they will. So you have to be careful, because a lot of these spirits were out to cause some not well-intentioned holiday mischief. Nowadays, one of these spirits is pretty well known, the Krampus. This alpine demon comes from the folklore of Central Europe, mainly from Germany and Austria, but it can be found in parts of northern Italy as well. The Krampus is sort of the anti-Santa. If Santa's whole deal is bringing gifts and spreading joy, well, Krampus is all about making sure you're miserable and kidnapping your children. German children who didn't eat their bratwurst or, I don't know, disrespected David Hasselhoff? Could not expect a jolly man in red, but a black-furred goat man with a disturbingly long tongue to come into their homes wielding a bundle of sticks and a basket to torment them and carrying them off to wherever Krampuses are from. He would kidnap the affecting youngster and whisk them away to eternal torment. Quite tame for German folklore, actually. Despite this, over in his home countries, Krampus is rather well-received, and he even has his own holiday festival. On December 5th, Krampusnacht is held. It's a night where groups of people dress up like the iconic goat man, usually in a march of sorts, led by none other than Satan. Santa! I meant Santa! The group of revelers will partake in drinks offered to them, taunt onlookers, and cause more delightful mischief than the creatures they're representing. These festivals bring sort of a Halloween at Christmas vibe that a lot of folk enjoy, including myself. These Krapischnacks in recent years have made it to the States and have proved to be really popular. Despite America having a high percentage of German immigrants in the early 19th and 20th centuries, especially here in Maryland, it's a tradition that didn't really follow them at the time, due to changing culture and persecution. But starting in the mid-2010s, American Krapischnacks started taking place all over, as the Krampus itself started to sneak its way into pop culture. Krampus quickly became adopted by all groups of alternative types. Essentially being anti-Santa, this lended itself well to the against-the-grain mindset of millennials like myself who were kind of jaded about the holiday but weren't total Grinches, just not into celebrating things how we had been sort of pushed to celebrate them. We needed a new icon to celebrate, one that represented how we felt about the holiday season. Pushed back against the Hallmark movie Coca-Cola Santa image that we've been fed for years, but one that also let us do it in a way that felt legit. For every tacky Rudolph or frosty sweater someone was trying to sell you, you would see one with Krampus drinking a beer or pantsing Santa. It was so cool. So Krampus became a part of the season again, now celebrated instead of feared. I mean, still feared. Most of his better-known appearances have been in Christmas-themed horror movies to varying degrees of quality, so eat your brats this Christmas, or else. Krampus is definitely not a guest you would want to have knocking at your door any time of year. But how about a skeletal horse that just wants to share a beer with you? Merry Lloyd comes from Welsh and English folklore. This tradition has its root in pre-Christian cultures, and has taken many forms over the years. Some connect its origins to the mythology of the Celts, with stories of magic horses the gods would use to ride between the realms of the living and the spirit world they dwelled in. By nature, it's mischievous, but not evil. Is more somber and ghostly than the Krampus. The tradition itself likely starting as a way to frighten stingy Scrooges into sharing with the needy, its ghastly form reminding them of a creature from the underworld come to judge their souls, or something. But at most, it just wants to spook you into sharing beer with, or whatever sweets or goodies you have around the house. Or rather, it's the puppeteer controlling one and their friends. Merry Lloyd comes around during the 12 nights of Christmas during wassailing, which is a more elaborate form of caroling. During a wassail, people usually dress up and go from house to house carrying decorations, indulging in wassail. It is both an activity and a drink, usually enjoyed from a large wooden cup. It's a really versatile word, wassail is. And in Wales, this procession is accompanied by Merry Lloyd. This grim-looking decoration, which again is also a puppet, is made of a horse's skull, and a lot of times it's an actual skull that has been preserved by generations of revelers throughout the years, and although other materials are used, it is most commonly a real horse skull. And this skull is decorated in a manner of greenery, a white shroud, and ribbons. And then it's taken door-to-door where it challenges the residents to a rhyme-off, called a ponco. This takes place between a group of carolers as a fun way to invite them into your home, with the merry rhyming its intentions to the homeowner, who must reply also in rhyme if it thinks a spirit and its companions are worthy of being let in. But these rhymes are also very mean. The point is, whoever can come up with the better diss wins. Allowing the carolers in is usually a good thing, as the belief is that by letting the merry into your home, you are paying honor to the dead and will receive their blessing. Or not. Which is fine too, but who wouldn't want a ghost horse to bless them? Am I right? Also, not accepting Mary's blessing would lead to some expected mischief. A lot less horrible than Krampus, but an upset group of carolers may tell others that you're a real Grinch, or if you're especially unjolly, some light vandalism. So there is that. Traditions are, you know, things you do, right? Sometimes they're otherworldly spirits or monsters, and sometimes they're based in the very grounded in reality habits that people have done for time immemorium, because, well, that's what we always did, right? But one simple modern tradition that a lot of us enjoy are movies. Christmas movies are one of the more renowned modern additions to the overall holiday tradition. And you know, a lot of them are pretty okay. Sure, you get like 20 Hallmark-style paint-by-numbers movies, but then you also get the beloved classics that stick for generations. Two movies I think sorta fit the theme, Christmas Story and How the Grinch Stole Christmas, capture my feelings for the season kind of pretty well. And don't worry, keep listening, because I promise I have a point with all this. One of the more popular movies of this time of year is the 1983 comedy A Christmas Story. I'm sure you've seen it. It's even got two sequels, and the recent one with the entire original cast as adults, which isn't half bad. This movie is a tradition for my family. Growing up, we watched it every day after opening presents or before we'd have dinner. Eventually, it became that we would watch it all day because TNT would broadcast it 24/7 on Christmas Day, and my mom, brother, and his fiance loved the movie, and they usually got up first, so it just kind of became background noise at one point for Christmas Day. Christmas Story is a look into the childhood of a young Ralphie Parker, narrating his experiences on Christmas Day of 1940, and it's a coming-of-age story of sorts. Ralphie shares his memories of this particular Christmas season, covering the anticipation, visiting Santa, getting messed with by bullies, dinner, which gets absolutely ruined, and eventually shooting his eye out at the very present he wanted so badly. Kind of a bittersweet tale, but beloved by all, because in many ways it's pretty relatable. It's a film about a very modern, commercial Christmas experience going all kinds of wrong, but still having a happy ending. And no, it doesn't really have any magical elements, but that's sort of it. The movie's based in the reality of the ideal American Christmas, where family, friends, etc., they're all there, of course, but they take a backseat to the glamour and excess of the season. And all that is fine, too. We love the excess. It's the best part of the holiday sometimes. Again, it's a pretty relatable movie, with Ralphie just kind of going through all the motions leading up to Christmas Day, with the expectation being he gets that Red Rider, and then he shoots his eye out. If there was a place in the movie for the supernatural, you could say it was a spirit causing him trouble for some misdeed, but I still see Ralphie as a victim regardless. And a victim whose shoes we've all been in. Because for some, one bad Christmas is all it takes to turn into a Grinch. Another popular Christmas movie that a lot of people love, and is something for tradition with my family as well, is The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. A movie that has seen a lot of love over the years, including the now legendary, in my opinion, remake starring Jim Carrey. With the main character's name become a term that's used for just unpleasant people in general. If you haven't seen the movie, I don't know what to tell you. It's about a little town that loves Christmas. It's their whole thing, right? And a mountain-dwelling, green, hairy thing called the Grinch, who, through the right lens, takes a fair bit of inspiration from various ancient Christmas spirits, although none specifically, and he's more modeled after Ebenezer Scrooge than anything else. So it's like if Scrooge became a cryptid. It actually sounds kind of neat. Huh. Anyway, he hates Christmas, and really hates that others are having fun celebrating. He plots and schemes against the town folk. They won't be having any holly jolliness under his watch. No hoo hash for them. He rolls into town under the cover of night, and like a bizarro Santa, takes away anything and everything relating to Christmas. For a moment he thinks he's won. No Christmas in Whoville. Victory. But then the Grinch hears them singing, and still celebrating. In spite of him taking away everything that he assumed was part of Christmas, they show him that Christmas isn't about the gifts and decorations. It's all about the people, sharing companionship during a rough time of the year, much like our ancestors did centuries ago. The Grinch is a complex character, and I'm gonna go out on a limb here, but he sort of liked the Krampus. Sort of. The Grinch represents kind of an anti-Santa. Sure, he hates Christmas, but some of the recent adaptations have actually expanded on this and given him a good reason. One too many bad experiences and a troubled past you can't help but feel sorry for. He was abandoned on Christmas Day, and the love of his life broke up with him on Christmas Day. Yeah, you can't help but feel sorry for him. And he winds up redeeming himself, And I think his redemption hits pretty hard in the Jim Carrey version, too. But that's just my opinion. Like, the image of Krampus has sort of redeemed people who feel jaded by the holiday. I mean, Krampus doesn't literally return Christmas to the people he stole it from. He doesn't just that because he doesn't do that anyway. But as an opposition to the idea of what we were told to expect from Christmas, the Grinch did take Christmas, or what he thought was Christmas, away, but he wound up enjoying Christmas after all, in spite of himself. It's one of his big lines in the film. It didn't come in a box or with bows, etc. So maybe physically not like Krampus, but like Krampus in that, by presenting himself as an anti-hero to the excess of Christmas, he also presented a reason to be festive. A veritable Christmas contradiction. In a way, there is a Grinch in all of us. Christmas can be a stressful time, and it's okay to want to opt out. Between having to fulfill all the social obligations and dealing with just the Kris Kringle of it all, the stress is real, and we all turn into Grinches from time to time. Sometimes it's fun to have a symbol to rally behind in playful opposition of something that makes you feel uncomfortable. The holidays aren't about having the biggest Christmas decorations in your yard or buying the most expensive presents. They're about sharing good times with people you love and care about, and rap battles with horse skeletons. So like Ebenezer learned from having the holly jolly scared out of him, keep the real meaning of Christmas in your heart all year. Happy holidays. Hey, I hope you guys enjoyed this little Christmas spiel I did. Putting this here at the end just to say thank you for listening to my podcast. Thank you for listening to 91.1 WHFC. It really means a lot to us. Go out there and spread some holidays cheer this time of year. And even beyond this time of year, do whatever it takes to go out there and just be, make someone's life better. Make someone feel more welcome. Make someone feel loved. It's the most important thing we can do for each other right now. I know this was kind of a weird one, and I just kind of threw some kind of chopped up trivia. There is so much more to learn about just in general as far as like old European Christmas folk traditions. There's so much written about all that, and it's really cool to dive into. Yeah, so let's see where the year takes us. Happy holidays from us at WHFC 91.1 Bel Air.